Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 16, and beginning at verse 1. "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses," in verse 4, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. Lord, once again we come into your courts, and Lord, it's with praise. Lord, we praise you, Lord, that Jesus died for us. Lord, we thank you that you did not leave us comfortless, that you came unto us. Lord, we thank you that we have this book that we call the Bible that tells us what to do. Lord, it's your word from heaven, bread come down from heaven. Lord, minister to the people. Lord, speak to the people. Lord, comfort the people. If there's any sickness among my listeners, please heal it, for I know that you are able. You said you are the Lord that healeth thee. And you said that you heal all of our diseases. If there's one lonely, or there's one discouraged or anxious, Lord, meet their needs. I believe that you're able to do it, and your word proclaims that you do all of these things and more. And Lord, we're careful to give you the praise and the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. We were reading last time in the previous chapter, verse 23 of chapter 15, it says, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter." And it says in verse 24 that the people murmured against Moses. This is something that they do a lot, apparently. If memory serves, it was 10 times that he was frustrated because they had been complaining those 10 times. But the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And we talked about the tree that Moses cast into the water, and the waters were made sweet. And we said that that is a picture of the cross of Calvary, that Jesus will change your life. You can pass from death unto life. And the things in your life that are bitter, that are difficult to deal with, the Lord can take care of those things. And I've testified in my own life how God changed me and delivered me. And I think I'd like to testify a little bit more perhaps later in this program. Now it says here in the last part of verse 25, "Then he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." And in this next chapter, chapter 16, it mentions that, and I just read in chapter 4, that "I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." And I'm going to deal with law later. Chapter 15 ends. Remember, they had just had the miracle of the waters being made sweet. They were complaining of thirst. God made the waters sweet. But then it says in verse 27, "And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the waters." This speaks of God's provision. They were complaining, and God did a miracle for them, but then this shows us that God has a continual provision, that when he brought them out of Egypt, they had comfort there, and we just read at the beginning that they were complaining because they had the comforts of home. Now, they were slaves, and they conveniently forgot that they were slaves in Egypt, but they had, in one point it says, leeks and garlic and what have you. The idea is that even though being slaves, they knew where their next meal was coming from. They didn't have to worry about trusting the Lord. The Bible says that God will provide for us. The Bible says that he will take care of us. But the fact is that we have to believe the Lord if we're going to receive from him. I remember one of the apostles saying that if a person won't believe God, don't expect that God's going to give him anything. The things that we do as Christians are in faith. When you're a slave, or if you're in prison or something, I don't know what slaves get, but in prison, they give you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They'll give you anything that you give you, clothes or what have you. You don't have to worry. You can just sit back, relax, and these things are given to you. But the Christian walk is one of faith. We have to believe God. Just sitting around on the pew, perhaps, that's not quite going to cut it. We need to believe the Lord for the things that he promises in his word if we want to enjoy them. But he says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. I don't know what the 70 palm trees were about, but the 12 wells of water, that is a symbol of the fact that there were 12 tribes of Israel. And God remembered each of the 12 tribes of Israel and had a well specifically prepared for them. Now, who dug these wells? I have no idea. Maybe they were springs, or I don't know exactly what the deal was, but there were 12, one for each tribe. And we will see throughout the Word of God that God mentions the 12 different tribes and prepares things for them as we read through the Bible. Now, I'd like to say that the Bible does mention numbers. For instance, the number 3 many times will refer to the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In this case, 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. In one place, he says that there are 7 spirits of God, and it's not that there are 7 actual persons of the Holy Spirit, but it talks about how the Spirit of God meets our different needs. And as we read the Word of God, we will see the number 7 crop up over and over again, and many times that will refer to the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to be careful when reading the Word of God and finding these symbols, for instance, the numerical symbols. Many times the pagan cultures would also use numbers as symbols, and I guess that the study of these numbers would be called numerology. And many times, many of the pagan cultures, as I say, would practice numerology. And you say, pagans, well, that was a long time ago. Well, many times we'll find that things are recycled in the church today. And there are various books out and various fads that say that this number or that number signifies this or that. And I believe that most of those books are mistaken. There are some numbers in the Word of God. For instance, when Christ told them to cast on the right side of the boat, or whichever episode that was, and they did so, and they pulled up 143 fish. You say, well, what does that number signify? That signifies that they pulled up 143 fish. There are some symbols in the Word of God, but we need to stick to what the Bible gives us as an interpretation of those symbols. And I want to stress that we need to go to the Bible to interpret the Bible. Let me say that again. We need to go to the Word of God looking for clues to interpret the Word of God. You look in the book of Daniel. In chapter 2, there was the dream of the image. And Daniel gives a description of this image, the head of gold, the belly and thighs of brass, and what have you. And then he gives the interpretation of that image. So we can go to the Word of God looking for it to explain what it means. We should go to the Word of God for its interpretation. But in these two chapters, we see the people thirsting for water and asking the Lord to provide, and He does so. He made the water sweet, and then He gives a well of water for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the next chapter, in chapter 16, we find that the people of God are hungry. And again they murmur, and they should not do that. But then God gives His provision. He gives bread from heaven. And this is the manna that we talk about, and I'm going to spend time next week perhaps explaining a little bit more about that. But God provides. God provides for us. And I've said again and again and again that the gospel is portrayed in the Old Testament. And as we read the Old Testament, we find Christ. On practically every page, you can find evidence of our Savior. And one of the attributes thereof, or one of the things that He did, or what have you, you can find Christ and perhaps a snapshot of the gospel in the Old Testament. I'd like to read a few verses from John. He says in John chapter 6, verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me should never thirst." The people in the Old Testament were hungering and thirsting, but the Bible says, Jesus says, that today we hunger and we thirst. And Christ is the answer. Christ is God's provision. The Holy Spirit, which came from Christ, obviously came from heaven, from the Father, but came to show us Christ. This is our provision. This satisfies the soul. John chapter 7, starting at verse 37. "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." If you come to Christ, if you look to Christ, He will satisfy your soul. He will give you bread from heaven. He will give you water to drink. He says, "I am the bread of life." Now, there's a number of things I suppose that I could say here. That the word "I am the bread of life," He uses this particular construction in the book of John. I believe it's 8 times. The Greek word is egoimi, or however it's pronounced. I don't really know that much Greek. But this is the same construction that we find in the Old Testament, when God said, "I am that I am." And He said to Moses, "Tell them, I am hath sent thee." Jesus is claiming to be God, God come in the flesh. And we know from the Gospels, we understand from the book of Matthew, that one of the titles of Christ means God is with us, that God came to be with us. And we said that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. God comes down. And obviously we can talk about the incarnation, that God came and became a man, that Jesus Christ is man and Jesus Christ is God. 100% God, 100% man in the person of Jesus Christ. "But he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In chapter 4 of the same book, the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" And she was a Samaritan, and he was a Jew talking to her, and that was this kind of backstory between the Samaritans and the Jews. But she was throwing up religion as an excuse. And too often we will rely upon religion. We'll hide behind what our church claims to believe or teach or whatever. But Jesus wanted to go around the excuse of religion. You say, well, I don't understand that, preacher. What do you mean Jesus doesn't like religion? Well, that's correct. Jesus Christ does not like religion. God does not like religion. Religion is man's attempt to reach God, man's attempt to please God, man's attempt to supposedly do the right things and say the right things and whatever, and maybe God will be pleased. And that is simply not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that faith pleases God. And it also teaches that God comes looking for man. Remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had eaten that fruit and they had fallen into sin, God came in the cool of the evening looking for Adam and Eve, looking for them. And God, in the person of Christ, came down here looking for sinners, looking for you and me. This message has nothing to do with dead religion. But in verse 13 of John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, the water that's in this well that we're talking about, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, it's not dead religion. It's not, well, it's Sunday, I need to go to church, they expect me there, and I should put a little bit of money into the offering plate. When you tell me to sit and stand, I'll do it because that's the thing to do. It's nothing like that. I testified last week that I found that this thing is real. I found God to be real in my own life. And I'm happy that God did something in my life. He set me free from drugs. He set me free from depression. He took away all desire for drugs. He took away all desire for alcohol. He changed my life. God changed my life. He did something in my life, and he can do it in your life. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The children of Israel, fresh out of Egypt, they were thirsty, they were hungry, and God provided for them. They murmured, and that was certainly not the right thing to do. And as Christians, we need to make sure that we don't murmur. But if we trust the Lord, he has provision for us. If we trust the Lord, he will provide for us. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus has something that your dead church can't give you. Jesus has something that your dead denomination doesn't know anything about. In verse 29, she went into the city and she told the elders, Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Come, see a man. Come see a man. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Hallelujah. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Hallelujah. The Lord can do something. The Lord is able to do something. He provided those 12 wells of water corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel because he cared about them. Because he is the one that provides. He's the Lord that gives the provision. He's the Lord that watches after us. The Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays his life down for the sheep. God cares for you. God will provide for you. And God will lift you. Hallelujah. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus satisfies the soul. Religion can't do it. Drugs can't do it. Psychology cannot satisfy. If you have hurts from perhaps your childhood or something, the psychologist cannot help you. The pills he prescribes, they can really not do anything for you. But Jesus can take care of you. Jesus can do something. He is able. He satisfies. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
When it was dark in my heart, you brought light to me, a child of darkness became a child of light. And when my soul was so dry and I needed drink, the water of life you became for me.
Cruise of all, and in love.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.